Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV every week at this time, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate. But it can only be a debate, of course, if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208601455. Or you can SMS the show on 44780008066. Or email us at comment@presstv.co.uk. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been waiting for this moment all of my adult life. The Arab nation is rising from Marrakesh to the Persian Gulf. The Arabs are standing up and confronting their rotten, incompetent, corrupt dictatorships. One has already fallen in Tunisia, as I predicted here the last time I stood at this table. The tyrant Ben Ali fell before the wrath of his people, running away like a rat in the night, but being pursued for the return of billions of dollars stolen from his people. And all the Western governments that backed him right up until the moment that he fled are now falling over themselves to tell us how strongly they support the democratic revolution in Tunisia. Well, Mr. Ghannouchi goes back to Tunisia on Sunday. He's the real leader of the Tunisian people. And the alliance that he will lead will, I am sure, come to power in that country. Let's see what the Western governments that backed Ben Ali do about that. In Egypt, tomorrow, after the Jummah prayers, I'm predicting to you now that millions of people will be on the streets of Egypt. That's right, I said millions of people. In Suez, in Cairo, in Alexandria, in the south, around the country, the Egyptian people, the great people of Egypt, the beating heart of the Arab world, have had enough. Enough is enough. And they have risen, and tomorrow, after the Jummah prayers, they will deliver the decisive hammer blow. Mubarak will be the next tyrant to fall. Unless, of course, the people of Yemen beat the people of Egypt to it. Tens of thousands there on the streets demanding that their dictator of more than 30 years, Ali Abdullah Saleh, a man who has divided everyone in the country between north and south, between Sunni and Shia, between tribes, used every tactic of divide and rule, encouraged the United States to bomb his own country, encouraged Saudi Arabia to bomb his own country, his days are also numbered. But everywhere else, rulers are trembling. In Algeria, in Jordan, and in many, many others. So tonight, we are discussing the Arab Democratic Revolution, which has broken out and is spreading like wildfire. We'll also be talking about the tapping of telephones. Is anyone tapping yours? Well, the news of the world, according to the Metropolitan Police, were tapping mine. And I'll be in court with Mr. Murdoch and his hirelings before very long, but it's moving very, very fast. Mr. Murdoch came to London, supervised the ending of the careers of some of his inferiors who were, until days ago or weeks ago, very powerful figures in the Murdoch empire. He has turned over evidence, he says, that he has come upon. Very shocked and surprised he is too, and given it to the Metropolitan Police, who have launched a new and fresh inquiry. Let's hope that inquiry is a bit more comprehensive and competent than the previous one. More charges are imminent. The Prime Minister, David Cameron's Director of Communications, has already quit and may or may not be caught up in the swirl of events. As always, these are my own personal views. They're not the views of Press TV. They're definitely not the news of any government in the world. They're my personal views. I would not state them if they were not. Press TV has never asked me to say something I didn't believe in, and neither have they ever asked me not to say something that I do believe in. I hope you know me at least well enough to know that that's the truth. If you have a different point of view, if you're backing Mubarak, if you support the kings and the presidents of Arabia, I want to hear from you. Call in if you have a different point of view. Let's go to London to to Sohail to talk about the revolution in Egypt. Sohail, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yes, Mr. Galloway, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I hope, Mr. Galloway, by the time next week, when I call you back, I hope Mubarak should be under the table, running away, escaping Egypt. He should no more be the president in that country by next week. I hope so.
Inshallah.
Because he is one of the most corrupt leaders in that area. But nobody sees the corruption he's doing, because he's a puppet to the West and to America. Understand? And he's been ruling Egypt under the iron, under the fist, killing whoever doesn't come on his side. So I think it's high time the people of Egypt, and even the people in the north and the people in the Arabian countries, should stand up, get rid of these leaders once and for all. So let the people have their choice. So please, if the people of Egypt can hear my call, please don't give up. Stand and get rid of him.
I'm sure they're not going to give up now, Sohail. The dam has broken and it cannot be repaired. Stand up. Stand up for liberty and freedom, O great people of Egypt. Tomorrow is the day. Let's go up to Glasgow and talk to Jimmy on the same subject. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
George, I'm glad that you're coming home to sort out lot of
yes, thank you very much, Jim.
Up here.
Thanks, my friend.
About these Palestinian papers, George, I was so surprised when that first broke in Al Jazeera. And in the back of my mind, I started to wonder, you know, is this something that maybe the Israelis has put out, or the Americans, you know, to disown the Palestinian leadership? But then I thought again, well, there's something in it. Because the Palestinian leadership, some have come on and been very irate, etc., you know. But what I let down to the Palestinian people, all those who are depending on these people to defend them, and now they're giving away their land, you know. But for goodness sake, you know, what needs to happen, George, is a revolution as far as the Israelis are concerned.
Well, look, Jimmy, I'm glad that you brought that up. As it happens, on Sunday night, on my Real Deal program, I'm interviewing Seamus Milne of The Guardian, who were the partners of Al Jazeera in the breaking of this epic story. The leadership of the so-called Palestinian National Authority are drenched in shame by the torrent of truth which has poured out of these papers. And this very night, the General Union of Palestinian Students have occupied and taken control of the office in Hammersmith in London of the Palestine delegation. I myself will be visiting them in the morning to offer them my support. The Palestinian people are disgusted by what these papers reveal, that they have a so-called leadership which is not only corrupt and filled its own pockets and built its own mansions on every hill, but is on its knees offering the Israeli occupier and besieger everything that it wants, all in exchange for a ministerial car and the ability to make still more money. And the Egyptians, Israelis, have still said no. Jimmy, the change that we're talking about in the Arab world will not miss Palestine. The Palestinian leaders will not be immune from this great wave for dignity and freedom that's sweeping the Arab world. Let's go all the way to Washington and talk to Natasha on Egypt and Tunisia. Natasha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mr. Galloway. My question is very similar to what you were just talking about the wave of protests affecting Palestine. And I was wondering what you think of Israel's role, given the change in leadership in Lebanon that's slowly happening, and the wave of protests across Yemen, Egypt, and Tunisia. How do you think Israel's role will change in relation to Palestine and in relation to its previous power in the region?
Well, of course, these changes that are occurring are important not just because they will liberate the people of the Arab countries concerned. They will put bread on the table where too often none exists, at least at an affordable price. They're important because of the freedoms that they will bring to life in those benighted, previously benighted Arab countries. But they are important, these revolutions, also because they will change the foreign policy posture of the Arab world. No more will we have Israel surrounded by stooge governments of puppet presidents and corrupt kings. These governments will be accountable to their people, removable by their people, and therefore will have to respond to the legitimate political aspirations for the Arab and Muslim world that their people hold. Now, Lebanon has turned out to be a rather splendid success story. There was an effort made by Israel and the United States to destabilize Lebanon, to break it into warring factions and plunge it into civil war. That has completely and miserably failed. Lebanon has a new government. It has a dignified Sunni Muslim prime minister, a dignified Christian president, and a dignified Shiite speaker of the house. And the role of the resistance in Lebanon has been entirely validated. There was 2 days of paid-for demonstrations in Tripoli and in Beirut, but it's all over now. And Lebanon is now firmly a part of the Arab and Muslim world. Natasha, I've just returned from the United States yesterday. I was almost snowed up in New York. I hope it's better in Washington where you are. Let's go back to London, talk to Mahmoud on Egypt. Mahmoud, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad you said that you were waiting for this.
All my life.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Mahmoud, you're on the air.
Right, I'm glad you said that you were waiting for this moment for a long time.
Yes.
And you are not the only one. I think millions of people were waiting for this moment. Because Mubarak has been carrying out this horrendous torture to his people to line up his own pocket for so many long years. Now he has come, his days has come, and he has to definitely run. And I wonder when he runs, where would we go? Who would accept him?
Mm.
Only place I think he might feel is safe is Israel. Or one of the Israel friends like Saudi Arabia or someone like that.
Well, Saudi Arabia is going to get full up with all these dictators. And what happens when there's change in Saudi Arabia? Where are they all going to end up, this rogues gallery?
Yeah, anyway. Even...
Mahmoud, you must turn your television down, my friend.
Yeah, sorry, because you were talking, so I was talking at the same time.
Yeah.
But the thing is this, because even wherever he goes...
I'm sorry, Mahmoud, we've lost that line. Let's go back to the United States and talk to Joseph in the great state of Minnesota. Joseph, welcome.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
Hi.
Hi there.
I miss you when you came down here last time. I was in school. That's why I didn't have an opportunity.
Okay, don't worry. I'll be back soon, God willing.
Where you went.
God willing, I'll be back.
Yes. Okay. I was going to ask my question now is, Mubarak was supported in the name of being a traitor by killing Sadat. His support, I mean, the people who did put him there after killing Sadat is by shameless, did the same thing by installing Mobutu, who did loot the country with them.
Uh-huh.
And then they went down there in Congo by killing 6 million, and today more people still being killed in the name of same people who did put Mubarak there.
Well, look, Joseph, we have to be fair to President Mubarak. He's not as big a thief as Mobutu Sese Seko, the greatest thief of the 20th century, a man who stole not millions, not billions, but hundreds of billions of dollars from the patrimony of the great people of the Congo, the country of Patrice Lumumba, the greatest of all the African leaders, murdered by imperialism. And Mobutu was installed by imperialism, and they supported him whilst he looted the country. Secondly, President Mubarak did not kill Anwar Sadat. Anwar Sadat was assassinated and Mubarak took his place as the vice president of the country. But he's ruled for 32 years. He has never faced a single democratic election. He has rigged every election. He's filled his prisons with tortured prisoners. He has completely demolished the great free press and media that once existed in Egypt, the greatest of all the Arab countries. He has beggared the land. He has left tens of millions of Egyptians unable to buy bread and cooking oil, sugar or tea. It's time for him to go. Enough is enough. And I believe that after the Jummah prayers tomorrow in Egypt, Mubarak will be on his way. Now, I'm having lots of calls, as you can imagine. Let's talk to Khan in London on the Middle East uprising. Khan, go ahead, sir. You're welcome. Yes, go on, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Galloway. You're quite right that you see, these uprisings in the Arab world, they should have happened long time ago. But because the people, you see, did not do that, these dictators, most of the dictators are implanted by the CIA, by the Americans. And they have to fight against these people and they have to get rid of them unless there won't be any change in the country. The conditions of the people would not improve. I've been to Egypt many times and I've seen the poverty there in those countries.
Well, I've been to Egypt maybe 100 times. Egypt is in my heart. I have hundreds, maybe thousands of friends in the great Egypt. But I have been forbidden, as you know, to enter Egypt. I was declared persona non grata, which means a person without status in Egypt. But as I told the dictatorship at the time, that this persona non grata decision was a badge of honor to be banned by this tin pot dictatorship whose days were numbered, was for me a badge of honor. And I told the official who gave me the decision at the airport on my very last time in Cairo that his regime of torturers and murderers would soon be out, and that if they were not careful, if they did not get out of the country quickly enough, then the people's vengeance would be terrible. Thanks for that, Khan. Now, we've had lots of calls, but let's take a couple of emails up here on the comment wall. Let's see where the first one comes from. Remember, we want your point of view, especially if it disagrees with mine. Misha from London. George, I didn't like that you referred to these people like Ben Ali and Mubarak as tyrants, but then I looked them up on the internet. Oh my God, how did these people get elected and how did they stay in power? Well, they didn't get elected because the only Arab country that has free and fair democratic elections was Palestine. And look what happened when the people in a free and fair election actually voted for the wrong party. We besieged them and starved their people. There are no free and fair elections in the Arab world, except the one that elected the current Hamas administration in Palestine. Not that you would hear that truth very much. Now, let's take another email on the comment wall. This one from Anissa in the U.S. As a Muslim woman of Tunisian and American descent living in the U.S., I cannot tell you how thrilled I am to see the Tunisian people rise up against a tyrant such as Ben Ali. I have been traveling to Tunisia every summer since I was a little girl. And when I decided to wear the hijab in 2003, I became more aware of the oppressive laws that the Tunisian government had towards practicing Muslims. Well, Anissa, Mr. Ghannouchi is going back on Sunday morning. He's putting together, indeed has put together, an alliance, a red-green alliance of progressive, liberal, radical, socialist people with his moderate Islamic trend. I believe that combination, that coalition, will sweep the free and fair elections that I hope will swiftly follow in Tunisia. Mr. Ghannouchi, who's been in exile for so very long, who has taught us all so very much, and his wonderful family have contributed so very much to public life and political life here in London. He's leaving us. Our loss is Tunisia's gain. Let's go up to Yorkshire and talk to Hashem on Tunisia. Hashem, welcome to the show.
Hashem,
welcome. Welcome.
How
go on.
All right.
Go on, sir.
All right. First of all, let me salute all the family in Tunisia for this great revolution. As for Ben Ali, you know, the criminals and his family, you know, the Trabilsi, I say something, I tell them, you know, they can run, but they cannot hide. You know, we will get them. We will drag them like a dead rat, you know, to the...
Well, you need to get your money back. That's the most important thing. You need to get the money that they stole from Tunisia back.
Well, we will. I think there's a very strong community there, Mr. Galloway. You know yourself there, you know,
yes.
You've been there, and, you know, the spirit is very high.
Yes.
I would like to ask as well, you know, every citizen in Tunis at the moment, you know, to basically, in the capital Tunis, to give full support to the protesters, you know, sitting in, you know, on from the Prime Ministry. They need food and they need, you know, some covers and, you know, parasols or whatever, you know, umbrellas or whatever, some water as well. I think the world will have, you know, dictator-free, you know, we will have dictator-free world soon, Mr. Galloway.
I very much hope so, Hashem. I very much hope so. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to London, to Wembley, and talk to Nisar about Egypt. Nisar, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello, George. Peace be on you.
And on you.
Okay, thank you. Alhamdulillah, what a great news. However, George, what I'm thinking, it's the Ummah can do a lot for the people of Egypt and the rest of the Middle Eastern folks. What the Muslims can do, maybe the others cannot do. What I'm trying to say is there's about 25,000 Muslims who go for Hajj and Umrah annually to Saudi Arabia. To start off, they can boycott this for 2 to 3 years. I don't know what the scholars are going to say about this. This will bring the custodianship of the House of Saud under question. Okay, this will not hurt them financially, but, you know, as I said, something can be done. This money can be saved, and this money can help the people in Gaza and elsewhere, Kashmir, etc. So the Ummah can do this thing at least. Okay.
Well, we need to ask the scholars what the propriety of that tactic was, Nisar, but thanks for thinking and phoning about what we can do to help this democratic revolution which has broken out across the Arab world. Let's talk to Azza in Norfolk on Egypt. Azza, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, good evening to you. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Welcome.
Okay, although I'm so happy what is happening now, but my heart goes out for people in Egypt because it's going to be very different from Tunisia. Tunisia is a smaller country and it's a smaller scale, but the tyrant in Egypt is a far much more powerful than that one in Tunisia. He's one of the most old dictators in the area. His skills in policy or politics is very limited. It's only been taught during his regime. Before that, he was only good in military or in air flighting. And he promoted hatred between classes. He the best thing he done to himself is the emergency rule, which has been ruling the country for over 30 years now. And anybody who's outspoken, does something, he has to be taken into prison or even detention for no reason, for unlimited time. He has attacked the judges, he attacked the lawyers, even the journalist has been put in prison. There is no respect for such thing called human rights. There is no such thing in Egypt, no thing. You don't even think about it. And when the Western people go and tell him about this, he keeps saying, well, I'm fighting terrorism. And because war and terror has been the theme for some time now, since 9/11, this has worked perfectly for dictators.
But no longer, Azza, no longer. This was Ben Ali's pitch to the West that supported him until the last, but it's now bankrupt. The people are on the march. They've risen. They're on their feet. And in the great Egypt tomorrow, after the Jummah, the revolution will triumph, God willing. I'll be back after the news with the second half of comment. You don't want to miss it, I promise. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, conducting a great debate about the momentous events now unfolding across the Arab world. Egypt is rising. Young Egypt has risen these last 2 days. All of Egypt will join them tomorrow after Juma prayers. And I believe if the Egyptian people stick together and stand up and move, that the tyrant Mubarak may be gone by the end of the weekend. Shujat in London has called me about that very subject. Let's take his call. Shujat, welcome to the show.
Hello George, how are you?
Well, I'm very happy indeed, as you can tell.
Nice to talk to you. Yes, I'm very glad that, alhamdulillah, this Muslim empire is now rising against the tyrants and the computer regimes that are just puppets of the West. It's happening in the Maghrib, in the western part of the empire, but hopefully it'll go on to the Mashriq and the Janub also. You know, Saudi and probably Pakistan also. Jordan, there could be revolutions there, and which will throw out all these empires. It's just great to see it's happening, finally. And hopefully something big will come up. Maybe Palestine will be liberated, finally, after all. If all the countries unite and rise up, this will also happen, I think. What do you think, George?
Well, you're making me even happier than I was already, Shujat. Yeah. One step at a time. But the reality is that all of these countries are shaking now. It's not all of these dictatorships are the same as each other. They're not all as bad as each other. But all of them, almost without exception, are ruling without the consent of their people. And a government which is ruling without the consent of its people and doing unpopular things to its own people and with the state's authority and the state's resources to others or in relation to others, that's a recipe for trouble. If you have a government like Saudi Arabia, where millions of people are unemployed or underemployed or feeling a very severe financial pinch in a country that is fabulously rich, which has more than 30,000 members of the royal family, every one of whom has riches that would make Croesus's eyes water, then you're asking for trouble if, on top of that, you're using the prestige and the resources of Saudi Arabia against the Arab interest, against the Muslim interest, begging, for example, the government of the United States to launch a military attack against the Islamic Republic of Iran, its next-door neighbor, which is what the WikiLeaks established the government of Saudi Arabia were regularly doing, as was indeed the president for now of Egypt. Now, let's go to London, stay in London, on the same subject, talk to Abdul Rahman. Abdul Rahman, welcome to the show. Yes, sir? It's a bad time to cough. You're on the air. Abdul Rahman? We've lost him in a coughing fit. I'm very sorry. If we can get back to him, we will. Well, we're talking about the democratic revolution that's rolling out now across the Arab world. Abdul Rahman in London is back. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir, go on.
I think one of the reasons, among all the reasons behind the revolution in Egypt, is that these tyrants, they isolated and sidelined the Egyptian nation, I should say, from their brothers, the Arabs, the rest of the Arabs.
Yes.
At the time of Abdel Nasser, the Egypt was in the heart of the Arab nations, and it was nothing goes without Egypt in the middle of it. And now these Mubarak and Sadat, they isolated the Egyptian, and the Egyptian nation now, they don't feel respected from their brothers, the Arabs. And this is because of these tyrants. Now I think they realize that, especially after Gaza siege, they felt like, you know, they're killing their own brothers in Gaza. And now they probably would like to reconnect with the Arab nations back again. Because, you know, they used to go from Gaza to Egypt by foot. It is all connected. There is no borders. There's nothing was there. So I would think the Egyptians now thinking of that kind of line, and we are, all the Arabs are one nation, and these tyrants are just meant to divide us by, I don't know where they're getting their orders from, U.S. or
Israel.
Well,
Abdurrahman, I couldn't put that better than you did, so I won't try to. Let me just tell you of a song that greeted me at midnight in 1999 when I arrived in Sfax, in the industrial port city of Sfax in Tunisia, when I arrived on my red London bus bound for Baghdad in a protest against the sanctions that were killing the children of Iraq. I was greeted at midnight by a large crowd led by my friend Mohammed Shaban and the trade union leaders in Sfax, and that song was Shahab Arabi Wahad, one Arab people. And I believe that that's true. Let's stay in London, talk to Peter on the same subject of Egypt. Peter, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, George. It's wonderful news to hear about the risings of the Arab peoples in Egypt and Tunisia and in Yemen, and where they will eventually get their new governments, democratic governments in place. And this would then put pressure on Israel. And also the PA, the Palestinian Authority, who are in league with the US and Israel against the Palestinian people's interests. The eventual result, I believe, is that Israel will be surrounded by new, and I hope democratic regimes, who will support the rights of the Palestinian people. I hope that the Rafah crossing will now be permanently open. Yeah. But I also fear that Israel may try to attempt to reoccupy Gaza with all the turmoil that is going on now in the Middle East.
Well, Peter, that's a possibility, but I'll tell you this. If they do, they will find they have bitten off far, far more than they can chew. This tide is going to change everything, including the future of the Palestinian people. And as I say, the Palestinians now are rising up themselves against the corrupt, incompetent, pathetic, treacherous regime in the city of Ramallah. These people who've brought disgrace on the name Al-Fatah, who have disgraced the memory of the late and great President Yasser Arafat, who filled their pockets and got on their knees in front of the occupier. Do you know that Saeb Erekat, the chief Palestinian negotiator, is revealed in the Palestine papers asking America and Israel to do more to destroy the tunnels, which were the only means of the people of Gaza even having something to eat? The chief Palestinian negotiator begged America and Israel to do more to crush the spirits and the life out of his own people under siege in Gaza. They are drenched in shame. Let's stay in London, talk to Mohammed on Palestine. Mohammed, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
You know, God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and earth, we bless you and your family.
Thank you, sir.
You are a true Muslim. All these Muslims that you are fighting for, they are kufars. You are a true God believer. Because all this, what you are saying, all these leaders, Mubarak, the king of Saudi, all this, we should not forget at the time of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are all the Jews. They are just in faith. They are using faith as a Muslim. They are not Muslim. If they are, they have seen their brothers being killed, sucking the blood, and yet supporting America, Britain, all over the world. They are not the true Muslims, so. They are just the kufar, the hypocrites that is written in the Quran. You that is fighting for them are true Muslim. Now God is answering your own prayer and the innocent people who are praying for the Palestinians, for the Somara people. God is hearing their own prayer, not the Muslims, so. They are not, are you Muslim?
Well, God knows what's in...
No, this is honest truth. I'm telling you the truth. Because all these Sunni, if you look at the history, the Shiites, they have never fight anyone against the Sunni. They believe in the Quran and the Sunnah. They
Muhammad, forgive me. I don't want to go down that particular avenue. There is only one Quran. There is only one Islam. And God knows what's in everybody's heart. And every one of us will face a judgment day. And on that judgment day, we'll have to answer, not for what other people did, but for what we did. And I'm not sure how some of these so-called leaders in the Muslim world are going to approach that day. Muhammad, thank you for the call. Let's stay in London. Talk to Zaman about Egypt. Zaman, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, sir.
It's, you know, this uprising in the Middle East, it's quite a uprising, and I hope it stays there, it gets into the revolution. I wouldn't say it's a revolution at the moment, actually, because there is no leader, Mr. Galloway. You know, there's nobody like Mao Zedong or Lenin or Che Guevara. There is no theory. And unfortunately, without the theory of revolution, there cannot be a revolutionary movement. But this time, you were right last week, and you are right again. This time, it's a very uprising, is very fruitful, and I hope, you know, the people, there's some leadership comes out from there, and they have a theory or they have a roadmap where to go.
Otherwise, well, I'll tell you what, as I said, Zaman, earlier, in Tunisia, we have one of the greatest of all the theorists. Mr. Ghannouchi is going back on Sunday.
Yeah.
He has made the relations now with the leftist and progressive forces. We have a red-green alliance in Tunisia. And I believe it will sweep to power. In Egypt, we need an alliance between the Arab nationalists and the Islamists and the Democrats. We need a broad democratic alliance in Egypt to stabilize the situation, to open the gates at Rafah, to reorder Egypt's relations with the Arab world and put bread and oil and tea and sugar on the tables of the masses, the poor. Zaman, thanks as always for the call. Let's go to the comment wall and take two emails. Let's see where they're from. We want everyone's point of view from all over the world up here. Zanus in London. George, I'm disappointed that you're not discussing Ken Livingstone on your show. Makes me wonder why you like Egypt so much. Didn't you see that English Newsreader's article about Ken, even though he himself worked at Press TV? His name is Adam Gilligan. He tried to defame Ken and admitted that he worked at your channel 2 years ago. But he interviewed Ken himself on Press TV, not 2 years ago, but last May, after the Iranian elections. Well, I don't want to intrude too deeply into the private psychological grief of a man called Andrew Gilligan, who seems to get his years mixed up, seems to get the dates on which he got his paychecks from the Iranian TV station, Press TV, mixed up. Actually, I've just given a long interview for the news about this kind of attack on my colleague, Mr. Livingstone. So watch out if you're a regular viewer. You'll see that coming up. Let's take one more email on the comment wall. And this one from Rita. George, Mrs. Clinton can't talk about Egypt and democracy when it is America who's propped up the dictatorship, as it has in many countries, which is why the world is in such despair. Mrs. Clinton is seemingly running with the hare and hunting with the hounds, as America does. Well, they make this mistake over and over again, Rita. I could have told them, indeed I did advise them 2 weeks ago, to abandon the sinking ship of Ben Ali in Tunisia. But they abandoned the sinking ship of Ben Ali in Tunisia after Ben Ali had already been overthrown and was already in the air. They keep making this mistake. They made it with the tyrant Shah of Persia, who they backed until the last moment against the revolutionary masses of millions in Iran, who broke the back of a brutal tyranny. One of the most, indeed arguably the most, powerful dictatorship in the region. The Iranian people, in their millions, broke the back of this tyranny, drove the tyrant out. But the British and American governments, I remember it well, I was an activist in this cause. The British and American governments supported the tyrant Shah until the very last second when he took off into exile and disgrace. Let's take a call in London from Jen on Tunisia. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, basically, I just wanted to ring in and say that I think that what's happening in Tunisia is fantastic, and the fact that Egypt has followed suit, I think we're going to see many Arab states doing the same thing, and I really hope that it kind of spreads into Europe, spreads into the UK. We've got the student protests this Saturday happening both in Manchester and London, and what we're planning to do is have a mass demo through the streets of London, and then afterwards we're going to go to the Egyptian embassy to kind of show solidarity with them.
Good for you. Excellent. Well done.
Thanks.
Jen, the best of luck.
Cheers,
the best George. Of luck with that. Brilliant synergy between these great issues. Let's go to the United States and talk to Josh about Palestine. Josh, welcome to the show. Where are you in the United States?
Hi, thank you. I'm calling to you from Boston.
Welcome. Welcome, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Mr. Galloway. I'd just like to ask you, what do you make of the allegation, actually, that the revolt in Tunisia was at least facilitated by the withdrawal of American and French support for Ben Ali before the revolution rather than after the revolution, as you claimed? As a punishment for his non-cooperation in targeting terrorism, for example, as part of the American War on Terror. And I think I've heard that accusation from several corners. And if so, is there any truth to these allegations? And if so, could this be a signal to other Arab regimes, perhaps, that they had better toe the line or risk similar consequences?
No, I don't give any credibility to those stories at all, Josh. Neither the French nor the American government withdrew support from Ben Ali prior to the overthrow. The French government was, until the very last second, on the last day, the French government was making public declarations of support for Ben Ali, and the French foreign minister has subsequently apologized for her conduct on the last day. The return of Mr. Ghannouchi on Sunday, and I believe his eventual victory in the election, will show that a real revolution has occurred in Tunisia, and I can assure you that will not be viewed with favor by the United States of America, but they should avoid viewing it with disfavor, because the government which will emerge will, yes, be an Islamic government, but be a progressive Islamic government in Tunisian colors, just like the progressive Islamic government in Turkey is in Turkish colors. This is not the Taliban we're talking about. This is not bin Ladenism. This is the future of the Arab and Muslim world, in my view. And the United States would be very wise to come to terms with it. But whether they come to terms with it or not, they cannot stand against the tide of history. They could not do so even when they were very strong, as the people of Vietnam showed. Now that the United States is very, very much weaker, they cannot stand against the tide of history. They'd be better to accommodate themselves to the changes that are underway. Josh in Boston, thanks for the call. Let's go to Bradford, talk to Khalid on the Middle East uprising. Khalid, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George. Great show, George.
Thanks, sir.
I was just wondering, big up to all the Arab people. They're doing an excellent job. It's the people, people power what counts, essentially, in the democratic government. I was just wondering what are your views on Pakistan and the situation in occupied, Indian-occupied Kashmir right now. How do you think those people are feeling right now with watching the TV and indeed your show?
Well, Khalid, I've supported all my adult life the cause of the people of occupied Kashmir. I was the General Secretary of the National Lobby on Kashmir. I organized a lobby of thousands of people to lobby their members of parliament in Westminster. I took a huge group of Kashmiris to Europe, to Brussels, to lobby the European Parliament. I spoke all over the country on the issue of Kashmir, and our work was destroyed by the people who overthrew Benazir Bhutto in the late 1980s, the late 1990s, and who destroyed the work of the National Lobby on Kashmir. You'll remember a man called Saif al-Rahman. He's the man who destroyed our work, which had reached the stage of actually changing the policy of the Labour Party itself. The Foreign Secretary, as was the late Robin Cook, actually went to India and called for a plebiscite in occupied Kashmir. and said that Britain would do its best to mediate between the two sides to make that possible. That was our achievement. What will happen in Pakistan? Well, we have discussed and no doubt will discuss that in the future. Pakistan is in a very, very serious situation, and it's not clear which way it's going to go. It's not clear even that Pakistan as a state is going to survive. But we'll come back to that, I promise you, Khalid, in the weeks to come. Right now we're talking about the Arab Revolution with Mustafa in London, about Egypt. Mustafa, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Very well, sir. Very happy.
Good, good, good. And first of all, my love and respect to you, because you're a true, you know, freedom fighter.
Thank
not
you,
only for Muslims, for, you know, any race, you know, for anyone, you know, regardless of their race, sex, or, you know, sexual orientation or anything.
Thank you,
and
sir.
May God, you know, pay you for that. And
Thank you, sir.
I really, really love you, and I want to meet you one day. You know, that'll really make me happy. And, you know, the thing I want to say also is that, you know, Israel and Egypt, their government will go down. The prayer is already answered. And Mubarak should know better, because at the end of the day, you know, the most well-known tyrant, you know, come from Egypt, and it's Pharaoh. Everyone knows Pharaoh, you know, and Mubarak, you know, should know that. You know, the way he's treating his people, and then think that, you know, the most powerful country in the whole world, America, you know, will help him. They will never be able to help him. And if he doesn't give up now, he's going to have it the hard way. But, George, you know, the most important thing is for me to, you know, speak to you, and then you listen to me, and, you know, you're my number one role models, and I really, you know, love you all my heart, and,
Thank you, sir.
I will always, you know, support you. And my prayers, you know, will be with you always.
Mustafa, God bless you. Thank you very much. I'm very moved by that. Let's try and get one more call in from Wales, from James on Egypt. James, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm very well. Very happy tonight.
Good. Now, I've been watching this for the most of the evening because I've got several friends in that neck of the woods, most notably the former champion bodybuilder Mo Bamoud, who, of course, is born in Lebanon, therefore is fully aware of what's been going on. Well, I'd like to know, where do you intend to raise these issues next? On the floor of the Scottish Parliament or on the floors of the House of Westminster?
Well, I never talk about my own career aspirations live on television, James, because it would be an abuse of the very privileged place that I have here as a man able to stand on live television speaking across the whole world. From all corners of the world, people are watching Press TV, because Press TV is the voice of the voiceless. Well, it's been marvelous for me. I hope it was for you, and if it was, tell somebody else. If every one of you gets me one extra viewer next week, I'll have doubled my audience, which is already big. God willing, may you go in peace. God willing, may we meet again next week.
Okay, so I'm going to come back to this. Before you get back, can you make sure the television volume is down to zero?